Amen, amen, amen. All right, so we're talking about being anointed. Anointed. So just throw up this graphic of Mr. Anointed Guy. Females are anointed in the Bible too. So that help comes from God. It rests on us. But we put that hard hat on it because it's always to do something. So we see in the Old Testament that there were inanimate objects, a rock, the tabernacle, all the instruments there were anointed, smeared with oil. And then people started getting anointed. And the high priest and all of the other priests were anointed to God for a purpose. And then King Saul, King David. And in those instances, both of those men, when they were anointed, there was activity of the Holy Spirit that began in their life that had not happened before the ceremony, before the anointing ceremony. Okay? And so David, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And so then when we read the life of David, we can see how God used him and helped him in amazing, amazing ways. Because of the role that he had, because of the function. And we saw that, we'll review this again, Exodus 30:30. So this is the first person to be anointed. It says, "You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests." Again, to do something. So the anointing is to help you to have an action word in your life. So in the New Testament, we see this a little more clearly, that the Holy Spirit, when he comes to dwell within us, remember we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, he resides in us. So this building is not the house of God. Sometimes people say, well, let's go to the house of God. No, God doesn't dwell in buildings made by hand, the Bible says. Anymore. He moved out and he moved in, into you. So the Holy Spirit who lives in us, most of all those activities are to help you have a life with Jesus, to help grow you. The Holy Spirit upon you is to help someone else through you. All right. And so that's just a good biblical thing to keep in mind as you look at the activity of the Holy Spirit, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, people were anointed, and then the Messiah, the one who would be mashacht, that's the Hebrew word, to anoint. So, not just one of those anointed, but the anointed one, Jesus. And Peter noted in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So, we said last week it was an oilless anointing. Okay, this was at his baptism, but the Holy Spirit came upon him, who, after he was anointed, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So, to reverse what Satan had done. And we saw last week that John the Baptist says that Jesus, so the activity of the Holy Spirit, he was anointed without measure of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he stood in all of the offices. He had a function that none of us will ever do, and that is to die for the world. Okay, so you think, oh, I want to be anointed without measure. Well, but you don't have the function of Jesus. All right, I hope that's not news to anyone in this room. Okay, so we do part of the work of Jesus, and that's what Ephesians 4:7 says. But to each one of us, grace was given. All right, so the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon, grace to serve, those are all interrelated and connected. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So he's anointed without measure, we're anointed with measure, but that measure is powerful. That measure gets the job done for what God asks you to do. Now, so let's go back to the Old Testament. So we saw where the first person was smeared with oil. But let's look at the first indication where the Holy Spirit came upon someone to do. All right. And you might be a little shocked that this guy, and there were some other ones with him, he didn't preach. He didn't prophesy. He did some things that if you kind of look from a distance, you would think, oh, wow, he's really good at what he does. But it was the Spirit of the Lord. All right. So turn with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Now, so we know that when the tabernacle came, God commissioned it. He said, I want to dwell with my people, so I'm going to need some priests, and so anoint them. But we've got to build this, and we've got to build all of the things in the tabernacle. And God said, I want them to be done well. I want them to represent me. All right, so Exodus 31, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. For a whole bunch of things. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works. To work in gold, silver, and bronze. In cutting jewels for setting. In carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. So he listed a bunch of workmanship, didn't he? And then he said, and there's stuff I'm not even going to list, all manner. And I, indeed I, this is the Lord, have appointed with him Eliab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make. That's a verb, isn't it? Okay. That they may make all that I've commanded you. Now, isn't it interesting? God didn't anoint Moses to do all this. Okay. Moses was, he had a job. It was important. And he kind of got the downloads from God. But it always takes a team on the earth to do what God wants to do. Always. Okay. If you think you have a vision from God that only involves you, let me tell you, it's too small. Because you are an incredibly limited resource. It takes people working together, each one anointed to do their part. This sounds similar to Ephesians 4, right? Every joint supplies, every part does its work. Okay. So, there was wisdom, understanding, knowledge, workmanship. So again, if I just kind of came by their workshop and I see these artisans that have been anointed with Bezalel, the head guy, I would just think, wow, these guys they're fantastic. Look how good they are. Well, that's what we see, but why is it happening? Because of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord to do things that seem ordinary, right? If you would see them working away, not too many people would post on Instagram hashtag anointed, hashtag Holy Ghost. But it is exactly what was going on. Okay, so what was needed to get done from God's mandate, then he helps people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so again, God didn't send angels. He didn't send all these things from heaven floating down. He gifted people to do what he wanted to be done. All right, let's pick it up. Same group of people, Exodus 35. So it's speaking about Bezalel again. All right. Repeated that God's Spirit filled him. Exodus 35, 34. This one's interesting. It says, and so they were working according to the help of God. And the Lord has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. So who gave them that ability? God did. What was the ability? To teach, to teach, to teach. To whom? Others, others. Now, I believe now it's a biblical mandate. 2 Timothy 2:2. Timothy, the things you heard from me and among faithful witnesses, you got them, right, Tim? Yep, got them. I'm rolling. Commit these to faithful men, third generation, who will, why do we know they're faithful? Because they will teach others also, four generations. Okay, so Paul, man, he's thinking, man, this is going to be going forward long after I'm dead. All right, so, you know, Caesar can kill me, but he can't kill the plan of God. Because it's now moving forward. All right, now, who will teach others also, teach others also. Whatever God has gifted you to do, you've got to find people to give that to. All right? Now, there are a couple of resistors when it comes to that. One is, well, maybe their business will be better than my business and I'll lose customers. You know what I've found is that when you give stuff away, you always have enough. You always have enough. Okay. I do it on occasion. PH does it far more than I do. But PH is constantly helping other pastors in Lusaka to have better churches, to build their teams, to go higher. Well, what if some people from Miracle Life go there? Well, that's okay. There's still 1.8 million heathen people in our city. We can still fill up these chairs. Amen? Right. So what God gives you, yeah, use it, grow it, and there is an ability to teach it, to give it away. Amen? So sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to lose my competitive advantage, or sometimes it's just ego. Right? What if somebody else is better than me? Well, then the world gets blessed more. Well, but I want to look good. Why do you want to look good? All right, get your esteem from who God made you and that you're a child of God. Don't get your esteem from what you do. All right. Amen. All right. So God gave them, not only gifted them to do, but then gifted them to teach. Okay. Gifted them to teach. So you have to give it away. Now, I came up with 20 different activities. And I bet you there are 220, but this is just a good sampling of these are activities in the Bible that God has ordained for people to do. Okay? To do. Now, again, like manner of workmanship and cutting stones and working with wood, some of these don't sound spiritual, but the mandate came from God. All right, so if the mandate comes from God, where does grace come from? From the same God who gave it. All right, so these are all things in the Bible, activities that God invented. All right, now, sometimes around the world there are heathens that are doing these things. They don't know that the origin was from God. Okay, so just a few here. Marriage. Who ordained marriage? God did. All right, people around the world, lots and lots of people don't know Jesus, they get married. But God ordained marriage between a man, one man, and one woman. All right, one rib did the job. Heard somebody this last week say, oh, no, men are wired for side chicks. No, they're not. No. We see how they're wired. We see what God took out of Adam, what he brought to. And again, if God wanted us to have side chicks, he would have brought Eve, Sally, Rebecca, and we would have said, oh, okay, you know. But he didn't. All right. Well, what about David? He had multiple wives. Yeah, his life was a disaster with his multiple wives. Can't you read the Bible for yourself? Do you need somebody to explain it to you? Come on, give me a break. All right. Every instance of polygamy in the Old Testament was a disaster. A disaster. And there is no instance in the New Covenant. All right. That was for free. Okay. So marriage comes from God. So what does that mean? That as a husband, as a wife, I can expect grace. I can expect grace. Okay. To walk in that marriage. Okay. Now, we'll cover that in a minute here. Number two, very close to marriage, is parenting. Parenting. So God wants us to be fruitful. And He wants us to raise our children up in the Lord. Amen? Guess what? There's grace to do that. When PH and I saw Tim and Hannah, you know, raising Noah, getting up in the middle of the night, we're sleeping in the middle of the night. That grace has lifted. Okay. It's lifted. Okay, but you know what? We really did have grace for that season of life. And grace for toddlers. And grace for primary school. Asking all kinds of questions every day. Questions. Right? And jumping around and running and doing crazy things. And then grace for the teen years. Ooh, great grace for the teen years. Because then it gets interesting, doesn't it? Okay? And then when your kids are adults, guess what? No grace. Because your job is over. People are still wondering about that one. Okay, we'll come. What are other activities in the Bible? The Bible makes it very clear in explanation and an example. There is grace to lead people. To lead in an army, to lead a country, to lead a family, to lead a church, to lead a group of people. All right? And so, again, that grace comes from the Lord. There, God ordained administration and organization, which is it's a part of leadership, but it's not just going somewhere, but you got to go there well. Okay? Jesus told, make everybody sit down in groups before we start passing out the food. That's administration and organization. Acts chapter 6, how are we going to distribute food? Administration and organization. Huge. Anything that grows, this has to keep growing with it. All right. So what does that mean? There's grace for it. There's ability from God. The Old Testament, when the Bible says that He says, I will teach you how to profit. Prophet. All right. Do you know that prophet is biblical? Meaning, you offer a service or a good, and the price is more than your cost. Okay. If you are providing a service or a good at cost, that's called charity. And it is completely unsustainable as a business model. You know, sometimes, you know, people will see a business person or something and their business is growing. And sometimes they'll say it with spite and they'll say, what a capitalist. What a capitalist. This is as if it's a cuss word. No, it is a Bible word. It's a Bible concept. Mm-hmm. Yep. And businesses that don't have a profit, they go under. Okay? And maybe in some ways because they have to, because people aren't buying their stuff anymore. Hello? Okay. So there is grace to make a profit in business. There is grace, and we see this in the Bible, there is grace for profitable farming. Farming that makes a profit. All right, because you're putting stuff in the barns, right? There's extra. Let me just pause here. I believe, and people in the natural have begun to say this, but I've felt this in my heart. So many people believe this about Zambia. We should be the bread basket of this part of Africa. We should be the bread basket. Okay. there are countries around us that don't have the land or the water, or somebody mentioned one of our neighbors. We've got eight of them, so you don't have to. They said, no, they don't want to farm. They just like to dance. So, well, then sell them food. They got to eat, don't they? I didn't say it. It was actually a Miracle Life board member that said that. Okay. Oh. And you don't know which one it is. It's eight different nations. All right. The Namibian dancers. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So God ordained profitable farming. That means he'll bless it. He'll help you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you ability. God ordained profitable fishing. Fishing. Whether that's on Lake Tanganyika, Lake Kariba, or fish farms. Pastor Sam and I was at 2-3 years ago, the place south of here, just on right on the Kafue River. Oh my goodness, they let us fish and we had a big old day. Ate fish, caught fish and everything. It was an incredible fish farm. Sadly not owned by a Zambian. I'll just leave it out there. So there is grace, there is ability to have profitable fishing. There is grace to build structures, houses, the tabernacle, the temple, office buildings. All right, there's grace to do that. And boy, have I seen God's grace on people to do that. In the Bible, we've got medical doctors. So there are doctors and nurses that are on Team God to bring health and healing, anointed. Graced. I do not have that grace. I do not have that anointing, and I'm not praying all night to get it. Okay? Like, I couldn't do that at all. Okay? As soon as I see blood, I pass out. So, no, I'm talking about, like, literally on the floor, pass out. Okay. So, we also see in the Bible the priests had one of their roles was that they were public health officers. All right, so does God want to anoint people here in Ministry of Health, National Health, Health Office, all those kinds of planning and thinking and other NGOs that do that? Absolutely. Grace. Grace. And I've known people in this church that were involved at, you know, eliminating malaria, HIV/AIDS, polio, things that are vile against God's plan. And so God anoints them. All right, God's anointing our son Tim to do that kind of stuff. Amazing, okay? We see that God anoints people to administer justice. Justice. So God is the judge of the earth. He invented justice. And then he has agents of his justice. Judges, lawyers, that will do it by him, from him, for him. For the benefit of justice and people. So God anoints people to do that. All right? God anoints government leaders. Oh, so many in the Bible. Joseph in the Bible had an economic plan from heaven that saved two countries. Why? Because he was the prime minister. He was a government official, gifted and helped by God. God ordained the police. God ordained the military. We see people in the Bible cooking food, right? Esau sold his birthright for a pot of stew. I'd imagine it was pretty good, that red stew, whatever was in the red stew. Okay, you can be anointed to cook food. All over the Bible we see God anointed singers to sing. Okay, gifted, graced to do it. Then we see God gifting people on musical instruments. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them to do that. We also see people that were gifted to write music, to write songs. I mean, we've got a lot. We've got the songbook of the Bible in Psalms. Okay, all those people were graced to write what they wrote. We read it. In that day, it was all sung. Okay. We see others that God used as scribes, as writers, as people who were articulate. Okay, Paul was used by God to write a lot of the New Testament. But my goodness, when you look at his writing, it is world class. I mean, the complexity and the thinking. He was graced to do that by God, to be a writer. And then we see that there is a gift that's listed in the Bible of hospitality. Hospitality. Can God grace you to be in the tourism business? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a sector in this nation that keeps growing and growing and growing. Amen. Might as well be profitable for you. Right? Why should all the big hotels and lodges be owned by foreigners? Said the pastor with American passport. Okay. No, it doesn't need to be. Amen. All right. Now, we do realize that there's some work that happens today that's missing from the Bible, like IT. Airline pilots. Okay. But it would not be a stretch or a biblical jump to say that if those things help the mandate of God, which is to help the world to flourish, then he will grace you to do it. He'll grace you to do it. All right. So we can be expected to be anointed on the job, in the job, for the work that God has called us to do. Now, please note that, so the list that we gave and the examples in the Bible, these are all things that are from God, for God, benefits other people, right? And if we twist things, okay, some of these things can be, so they were originally ordained by God, but then they become about us. Or they become about harming other people, okay? So, for instance, a dirty lying lawyer who steals land from widows. No anointing for that. A doctor or a nurse that kills babies in utero before they're born and throws their corpses in a rubbish bin. There's no anointing for that. A preacher who deceives people for financial gain or sexually exploits congregants. Very unanointed to do something like that. Civil servants who receive money and give favor like contracts or positions. No, no anointing for that. Or a businessman that withholds wages from people who have earned them. Oh, the Bible says God is very cross with people like that. That includes pensions, friends. You do realize that, right? I feel so sorry for people that, you know, hey, you know, I hear you're going through some financial problem. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my pension from 7 years ago. 7 years ago? Whoever should have been paying should be in jail. Come on, lawyer justice people. Give me an amen. That God opposes that. He opposes that. Okay. Jeremiah 6:13 warns, it says, from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. So is gain something that God invented? It is. But there's unjust gain, isn't there? Okay. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. Habakkuk 2:9 says, what sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly. Do you know, in my 23 years of living in Zambia, I have watched that verse come to pass. Yeah, with my own eyes. Yeah. People say, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, the devil. No, it's just the Bible working. It's just the Bible happening. Okay? You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. But by the murders you committed, or any sin, you have shamed your name and forfeited your lives. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceilings that were designed in Dubai and shipped here echo the complaint. Yeah. So it's pretty severe, isn't it? Pretty severe. Okay, so be careful what you ask God to bless. Be careful. Because he does want to grace you. He does want to anoint you and assist you. But it needs to be things that are in line with his heart, in line with his kingdom, and not that oppose his kingdom. You follow me? Okay. Now, another part of this that as I begin to see these different functions is that there's a concept I think will help us is to realize that when God graces us, when he anoints us, at times that grace is for a season. It's for a specific assignment. And when the assignment is done, it's done. Okay? And I want to give you some examples of that because I think it will help you. I think there's some things that stay, you could say. I mean, the king and the priest of the Old Testament, those were lifetime assignments. In the New Testament, there's and others even in the Old Testament, they weren't. Okay? So let me just give you a few examples here about the tenure. Probably the most clear example in the whole Bible is John the Baptist. Was he anointed? Oh my, he was anointed. He was called. He was gift. He was graced. All right, for what he was to do. What was his assignment? Prepare the way of the Lord. He had disciples that were with him, that followed him, that were part of his team and teaching. When Jesus came along, they left John to join Jesus. Was John mad? No, he wasn't. All right. And he put it this way. He said, the assignment, I've got to actually decrease so that Jesus' ministry is increasing. Okay. So it was for a season. It was for a time. And then it was to back up and let whatever God wanted to do through Jesus shine. Aren't you glad John the Baptist, didn't get on TikTok complaining about this Nazareth? Oh, my cousin, he's younger than me. He came after me. Who does he think he is? No. He knew the grace was for something, and he knew when the grace was not going to be there anymore. Okay? Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, so his earthly ministry was fantastic. It was amazing. But he said, I've got to go. And when I go, the Father is going to send the Comforter, one like me. He will be with you, right? So Jesus left. Jesus didn't build a kingdom. They wanted him to. Jesus didn't even travel very far. He was like in Lusaka province the whole time. Okay, and then he knew that his was for a season. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and then he was gone because the plan of God was now for the body of Christ to do things. Aren't you glad Jesus was humble enough to realize that and didn't try to get vengeance on all of his enemies and try to be on 500 TV stations? Jesus' power and temple of Jesus? No. Okay. Paul, the apostle Paul, he had an anointing and a gift, and that gift meant going to a city and being there for a short period of time. I think perhaps Ephesus was the longest in Acts 19 for 2 years. All right. And then Paul out. He left leaders. And so he would go and he would establish and then he would go. When, let's see, 2000, I'm trying to remember the years here, 2003, we get a call from Pastor David Newberry and we're living in Johannesburg, minding our own business. And he calls and says, the Lord says my assignment is over at Miracle Life. We're like, whoa, that's all he talked about. Every waking moment, every time we were with him, anywhere with him, Miracle Life. We're just broken 250. We've broken the 400 barrier. Remember that? Yeah. And then he said, my assignment is over. Well, what we realize now in retrospect is that God called, he and his wife, 6 years, to establish Miracle Life, to set the foundation. Okay, and there are people here, right here today, that were part of that. Okay, and what a foundation they did set. Okay, and then he realized, okay, I'm not going to stay beyond my grace. I'm not going to stay beyond this. So similar to Paul, parenting. PH and I got a video last night, and little Noah's kind of floating around in the bat. Tim that set, you know, Zambian swimming records. Did I ever mention that? Okay. So he's got him swimming in the bathtub. It's so cute. It's so sweet. What a cool video. But you know what? If they sent that video 10 years from now, when Noah is 10 and he's scooting him around the bathtub, something is seriously wrong here, because your parenting has to change, and what you do needs to change. Okay? So, you know, when a kid is 2 years old, you just tell them what to eat. When they're 32, you don't. And if you do, then you don't understand the tenure of parenting. Parenting is working yourself out of a job. You are a successful parent when you are not needed anymore. That is very tough for moms. Very tough for moms. Dads, we're pretty much cool with that, right?
But Johnny doesn't need me anymore.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, you carried him and you fed him with your own body. It's amazing, but goodbye. Yeah. He loves his girlfriend and his fiance more than me. Oh, way more than you. Way, 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 way more than you. He doesn't even think about you anymore. A man who loves his mother more than his wife, that's called divorce. All right. Parenting. There are times in your assignment where, and I find that God typically doesn't tell you this, and even in the Bible it doesn't seem like he tells people, but there's a season of training. There's a season of doing. And you're doing, you're learning, you're growing, but it's actually for something else, for the future. The two greatest leaders in the Old Testament, and it's not a debate, is Moses and David. Their first jobs was to work for the family farming business. They were shepherds. David for his father, Moses for his father-in-law. All right? And so what did they learn? Patience, correction, care, direction for the good of others, for the good of these animals. And then all that training, when God anointed them for people, ooh, they were good. In fact, David said about Goliath, oh, I know how to kill things. Yeah, I kill lions, kill bears. Let me do this, because I've got experience in protecting what matters to God. Okay, so there are times and seasons in your life where there's development and the grace is there, but then there's going to be a new assignment where you realize, oh wow, all of this was kind of a divine setup for what God wanted to do in my life. Okay. Yeah, it's amazing, amazing how God does that. Acts chapter 6, there was a problem in the church. Some things that needed to be done were not being done. And people thought, oh, are they discriminating because of nationalities? And so, ooh, this is highly charged here, okay? So the apostles said, we've got to appoint some people over this business. It was business. Now, it was business that was for the kingdom, But it wasn't preaching. It wasn't pastoring. Okay, it was distributing food. And so they picked some people, and then two of them became preachers. Stephen, that preached an incredible sermon before he died, and then Philip the evangelist. All right, so they were doing something, they were faithful, and then God asked them to do something else. All right, so in that case, you could say the grace shifted. All right, the grace was redirected towards something else that God wanted done. Now, only one of them became an evangelist, so it's not like there's this pathway that God has that is determined for everybody. Okay, but that God would appoint over this business. And the business side or the administrative side of church, like in the book of Acts, is so vital. And when I was thinking about this and praying about this yesterday, I thought, you know, and again, this was, you could almost say it was a for a season, for a moment, here at Miracle Life, say 15 years ago-ish, something like that. Boy, we had some growing pains as a church and as an organization, and we were our constitution was not designed for a campus like this. And so there was a team working on that. And God sent, among others, there were lots of incredible people. But in that season, I think, did I see Mitali? Yeah, oh, there's Mitali. So Mitali was the chair of our board. And then her wonderful sidekick, Reverend Pakuta Mwanza, who's in heaven. Sui was part of that. But these different people that helped, and Sui helped redo our constitution. These were all skills that they had years and years of experience and anointing and grace that PH and I were just kind of learning some of these things. And God graced them for a season, and some of those folks, and again, another early chair, Enoch Mwali, different ones like that, that I'm looking back and I think, you know, God, if you hadn't graced them, I don't know if we'd have a church today. I don't know. Either the problems would have just imploded us, or I don't know what would have happened. Or I would have just left in the night, you know. So, probably not, because I married a really tough Texan wife, all right, who doesn't do that. So, realize there is grace to do. Some of that grace will look like workmanship. Some of that grace will look like a legal mind. Some of that grace will be about teaching others what you know and raising up others. Some of that grace, my wife and I have watched over the years. There are parents, well, there was one family that you just raised two incredible young men, that they were older than our kids, and we would just hang out, we would ask questions, because they're probably some of the best parents we've ever seen in our life, and the fruit of what their kids are doing, amazing. And so there are people that God wants to bring alongside of you to mentor, to help you. Amen. But understand your grace and grow in your grace. Okay? And realize that it is not all about preaching and prophesying. Some of it is. Some of it's the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But do you know also, please realize, not all gifts of the Spirit have to start off with, yea, thus saith the God Almighty of the heavens and the earth. Okay? You can have a word of knowledge in a board meeting. You can have a word of knowledge in a job interview. This wasn't on the list, but I just want to ask you, hey, what about ABC? And then either for good or for bad, you go, oh, that was an interesting response. Right? What was that? That was the Holy Ghost anointing you to help you beyond what you could do in your own ability. Amen? Father, we thank you so much. Oh, you're good, you're good, you're good. And Father, you are no respecter of persons. And God, throughout your word, Lord, from cover to cover, you are working with us, gracing us, helping us. And Father, while the world that we live in, Lord, has challenges, Lord, our city does, our nation does, our region, the whole world, God, while there are challenges, your grace is greater. Your power is all sufficient. And Father, you said about the early church that great grace was upon the church. You didn't say that there was great grace on the pastor or the apostle. You said great grace was on the church. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, not only for Miracle Life, Lord, but for every church in our city and in our nation, Lord, that preaches the name of Jesus, that honors your word. Father, we pray for greater grace. Father, for hearts that are more yielded to you. Father, we thank you for businessmen, businesswomen, Father, that have a vision, yes, to make a profit, but Lord, to build something that's beautiful, to build a name and a reputation, God, to serve the nation and the surrounding nations, God. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, great grace, great grace. And Lord, we also know that from your word, that you give grace to the humble. You resist the proud. Lord, may none of us in this room have pride that will cause you to resist giving us grace. Lord, may we deal with that. May we deal with that and remove it from our life and guard against it, God. But Lord, may we cultivate a humble heart, a humble attitude, Father, a humble way of dealing with success and failure, God, that we know that it is because of you and from you, oh, and that grace will be seen in our midst, grace that will be seen in our midst. I want to kind of commission some prayer meetings. I want to commission husbands and wives. I want to commission, maybe you are running a business and so you can have a prayer meeting because you're in charge, to open up some meetings to say, God, we need your help. We need your wisdom. God, we want to please you, God. And humble yourself. See, that prayer means you're not enough. Prayer means, God, as the song we sang, I run to you. You're my refuge. You're my tower. And do that. Do that with your work. Do that. And maybe for some of you, you may find that the Lord shifts you. Maybe it could be you're in a line of work that needs to change, that needs to shift. Not everything is forever. Technologies and things change from time to time. All right? But God is still good. God is still a provider. God is still one who gives grace. So take time to seek the Lord. Take time to humble yourself. Oh, and watch what he'll do. Oh, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. And your life can be like an oasis, a green place of fruit, a green place where others run to for help. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, this has always been one of the mandates upon Miracle Life. And Lord, may that take a step higher today. May it take a step higher in these prayer meetings as we seek you and look to you. Oh, we trust you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, God, what we saw today, he is highly, highly, highly involved in the life of us and of people. And it all starts with his family, sons and daughters. Now, you and I, when we were born into this world, naturally, we were born under sin. The Bible says that, but you can say that from your own history, can't you? Boy, I've messed up. I haven't pleased God when I was not aware of him. But maybe you find yourself in this church and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I don't know today if I'm really in the family of God. See, that entry doesn't come from good works. It doesn't come from church attendance or water baptism. It comes by you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling on him. Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me. Wash and cleanse me. Father, as we go, bless us and continue to grace and anoint us, Father. May it increase. May it be more evident, Lord. May it be more beautiful. And may it impact our world like never before, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have an awesome, awesome day. You are dismissed.